All right. Well, today we are finishing up our series called Unleash, and we've been going through this for 4 weeks. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about the passionate way that God loves every single person, the radical love that God has for every single person, and how God wants to unleash not only the message of his love, but the reality of his love into the lives of every single person, how God does that. And one of the things we were talking about is the gospel. We talk about the gospel, and maybe maybe you're kind of like, you came in here for the first time today. Maybe you're like coming back to church for the first time, or maybe you've been here. Maybe you've been in church and heard the gospel for a long, long time. But the thing is, the gospel is so much more than just this soft love, self-help message, right? The gospel is, I talked about in week 2 of the series, how it's really kind of like a Coast Guard who's going to rescue somebody. When a Coast Guard gets the announcement, the mayday call from somebody who's, maybe their ship is going down on sea for whatever reason, the Coast Guard drops everything that they're doing. They drop everything that they were doing before at the shop, and it doesn't matter what they were in the middle of. They go to the scene. They take the helicopter to the scene of where that person is struggling and drowning and trying to stay afloat. And they get over top of the person. Somebody crazy enough, even in places like Alaska, they jump into the water and they swim out in order to reach the one person who's lost, the one person who's needing rescue. And it's really, this is a great picture of what the gospel is really like, because Jesus said that he's on a rescue mission, and he's on a rescue mission even now. He said that I have come to seek and to save the lost. He came to save people, to save all of us, not only to save us from all of our sins, yes, but for all of us who have found ourselves not only drowning in life, but maybe up to here and just so many things. I'm just tired of just the normal, boring life that we've been living. Jesus came to give us a new life. And the interesting thing is, as he tries to graft everybody into to a relationship with God the Father, the way God chooses to do that is not by snapping a finger or giving a command on high and making us love him. The way God chooses to do that is by pouring out his Spirit on us, people who have already encountered the love of God, and by sending us or unleashing us into the world to share his message and to share his love with people all throughout the world. And so my big prayer for this series, this is bigger than just here's a message and go home. My big prayer in this series is that none of us in our lives would get to a point where we become apathetic toward what God wants to do in your life, or what God wants to do in the lives of people in your sphere of influence. My prayer instead is that God would make it your heart's desire and your greatest passion to see people rescued, to come into faith in Jesus and connect with him. Because once we've experienced in Jesus, maybe you got to a point where you just realized, like, I have tasted and seen that God is good. And if that's you, you know that God is so good that it's like, how can I not share that with people, the people that I love? And so today we're focusing on how to do that. We've been going through different things. The first week we talked about how do we do that by inviting, having a culture of invitation where we're always inviting people to come experience Jesus. Last week we talked about how do we do that through serving, and what happens when we serve is bigger than just doing something for people. That what God is doing is actually planting seeds of God's love as people see love, his love demonstrated in action. That's what happens when we serve. Seeds are being planted. But today I want to focus on how do we do that by sharing our story and sharing our faith. How do we tell about Jesus? And it's really the one big mission that God has for us on this earth. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, this is just, you got to know this, like, we want you to become a follower of Jesus because we've seen what Jesus does in people's lives. But if you are a follower of Jesus, this is our mission. This is what Jesus gave to us. So right before Jesus had just died on the cross and had been risen from the grave, and right after he goes into heaven, he gives us these instructions. Here's the mission that he had for us. He gives us the Great Commission, and then he repeats it in a different way in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Check out what he says here. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, that's God, comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's where they were, in Judea and Samaria, that's the entire region, and to the ends of the earth. And so what Jesus says is, I'm not looking for somebody to be my lawyer or my defender. I'm not looking for somebody to arm wrestle somebody in the faith. I just want you to be my witnesses. I want you to testify and to witness what you've experienced in your life and to share it with everybody around you, not only where you are, but also in the region around us and even to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus wants us to be about. But if I can be honest, like this is the part of the series where some of us have more walls up, because when we talk about sharing our faith or sharing what Jesus is doing in our life, many of us feel we might feel a little bit intimidated, like. We might feel a little bit like uncomfortable with, like, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. We've seen it done, the means done in a weird way, and we don't want to do it like that. And so sometimes we let the means prevent us from sharing the method, sharing the message. But the thing is, we're good with doing last week's message, demonstrating God's love through serving. We're good to show God's love. But when it comes to sharing and telling people about Jesus, sometimes we look at our own lives and we look at our own inadequacies and we start to bring out all the, I can't, I'm not. And so we might think things like this: well, you know, I can't share about my faith because I'm not very qualified. I can't share about my faith because I don't know enough about the Bible. Like, what if somebody asks me a question that I have no clue about? By the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, especially if you have kids, you're going to get asked questions all the time that are over your head, right? And thankfully that being a witness of who Jesus is doesn't mean you have to know all the answers. Thanks be to God. I wouldn't be qualified as a pastor or as a parent. I don't have all the answers, but I'm on this journey and trying to follow Jesus. And this is simply what God wants us to do. But what we oftentimes do is we think, well, I'm not gifted enough. I'm not, you know, good enough. Like, there's some blemishes in my story. I'm not holy enough, or my life's not put together enough. Like, God, you can't use somebody like me. But I love how Jesus, when he calls people in the New Testament, he comes to these disciples who didn't have it all together. He came to some guys that were kind of some knuckleheads sometimes. They missed it so many times. And I love how Jesus doesn't say, hey, I want you to, he doesn't say, I want you to change your life. And then once you get your act together, then you can come follow me. No, Jesus simply says, come, follow me right where you are. He tells his disciples, come, follow me. And through following Jesus, he transforms their lives. And he uses them in a powerful way. Yes, even people that aren't qualified and aren't good enough and have blemishes in their story. In fact, what I've found in my life is that your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. Times in your life where maybe it's a moment of weakness, a moment where a blimp in your story that you don't love that it's there, but oftentimes that's the very thing that can point people to the strength that's found in God. And so sometimes we feel all the I'm not, or sometimes we feel awkward or uncomfortable because it's like, I don't want to talk about my faith because somewhere deep down, there's something inside of us where we start to feel like, well, it's going to get really awkward or uncomfortable because if I share my faith, then somebody might get offended in some kind of way. Because we think sometimes it's like sharing a faith is arm wrestling. No. You don't have to arm wrestle somebody to follow Jesus, right? Or sometimes we're just like scared to share about Jesus because we don't want to, you know, maybe if you remember the dating scene, you don't want to like invite somebody into something and get rejected in some kind of way. So here's a little story for me. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a time in my life where I remember Jesus really came alive in me, and I knew it. And it was one of these things where I just knew it. Like, I knew that it was, for me, I have a story where I'd always grown up in church. One of the things that all of us have different stories, and some of us have stories where we're like, you know, we were going in one direction, and all of a sudden, like, God, you know, turned us in the opposite direction and completely transformed our life. This huge Saul, Paul type conversion story, and that's not me. I mean, I've always had a story where, like, God was just kind of gradually over time opening up almost like the blinds to help me to see Jesus more and more and more. But for me, I was just kind of like a church goer, you know, like I went to church growing up and I sang in the choir and I did the church stuff and I did communion and then I'd go off and do my normal life. And I didn't see how those connected. But somewhere when I was a teenager, something clicked in my life. And it was almost like Jesus had turned the light bulb on in my life. And I started to see in kind of living color how Jesus was involved and active and actually working in every single area of my life and of my story. And I started to realize that Jesus wasn't just this ticket to get to heaven. And I'm waiting on the bench, waiting on that sweet by and by. That I realized that Jesus wasn't just this story that's tucked away in a dusty Bible, right? But Jesus, I realized how Jesus had come alive and was empowering every area of my life. And I wanted so badly, when I really met Jesus like that, I wanted so badly for my friends who didn't know Jesus like that at that point. I wanted them to come to know Jesus like I'd found Jesus. Because once you find something great in Jesus, once you see how good he is, like, you can't help but share it with others. And it was like, I just remember thinking, like, man, forget about all these religious things and all this religious stuff. I just want people to know that this is all about Jesus. And I want people to experience him. And I wanted so badly for people to really find him too. And so at the same time, I remember being in youth group, and God pressed on my heart this girl that went to our school. And she also, her family went to our church, but we didn't really see her, you know, at church. And for me, I just knew what God was doing in my life, how God was speaking to me, like, through our church. And like, I just wanted her to be part of that. You know, I was kind of like, God really just put it on my heart that, like, you know, just like I had been doing before, she's kind of living a good life, doing kind of everything the way my story was, but in so many ways, the only thing that was missing is that connection with God and Jesus coming alive in her life. And so for me, I was just so burdened by that. Like, this is somebody that's living my same story, and I just wanted her to experience what I'd experienced in Jesus. And so I wanted that light bulb to be turned on, and not like you figure it out, but where you sense that God's at work. And so I started praying so hard for her. Like, I started praying and praying. I mean, I prayed so much that, like, God, I just pray that she would see your love, and it would be more than just words on a page, that you would jump into her heart and she'd see that you're real and that you want to work in her life. And I remember I would pray for her to come to church. Like, I'd pray for her to come to youth group so that she could really experience Jesus like I was experiencing Jesus. And I remember every Easter, every Christmas Eve, I would see her show up at church, and it was like, yes, thank you, God. I've been praying for this. And I would start praying really hard. Like, God, I just pray the preacher doesn't stink today. You know, don't blow it. I've been praying, you know, y'all can pray that too. Pray the preacher doesn't stink. When you invite friends to church, so the preacher doesn't blow it. It's good. But anyway, God is at work. But anyway, Christmas and Easter, but I would year after year after year, I just kept watching as, like, she just kept living the same story that I was living before, but yet it was like walking through the motions of religion, but without this experiencing the presence and the power of Jesus. And so, you know, years later, I remember I don't know if I was praying or if God just kind of, like, prompted me in some kind of way, but I remember God saying to me when I went off to college, Andy, you know, why didn't you just share your story about what I was doing in your life, what I've been doing in your life? Why didn't you ever just share your story? Because that's the story I wanted to tell. And in that moment, I realized that it's one of those things where I wanted to share about Jesus. And my hunch is that all of us, if you've really experienced Jesus, you want to share about him too. But like me, so many times we don't share because we either feel inadequate or we feel like we're going to face some kind of rejection. And it's one of those things where I had done everything else, right? I had prayed for her like I was wearing Jesus out, you know? I was wearing the Lord out praying, right? I had been, like, demonstrating God's love, like, in action. I'd done all that. But the one thing I hadn't done is I realized I never realized that I had a story of faith that was worth sharing. And it's one of those things where for me, I wasn't willing to risk the fear of rejection. And because of that, I had to face the pain of regret, of wondering what might have been and how God could have worked in somebody's life if I would have just shared my story. Now, thankfully, God's sovereign, and I'll share more about that. But today, what we're going to be doing, we're going to look at a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles or smartphones or tablets or whatever you got, feel free to turn there. The words are going to be on the screen as well. But here, let me set this up a little bit. Because the Apostle Paul is writing this to the church in Corinth. And this is a really encouraging thing for all of us, I believe. Because the Apostle Paul is sharing very openly that he had all these reservations, all these thoughts of inadequacy in himself, all these fears when he went to the people in Corinth to share about Jesus. He had all of that. He felt all of that. But he didn't let that stop him. He just kept sharing about Jesus anyway. But over time, he learned something really interesting that I've seen in my own life. He learned that God was able to take those inadequacies and those same fears and reservations and use them as the very reason, not just in spite of, but the very reason that God actually spoke through him. Because what people are not looking for is how strong we are. Sometimes in our weaknesses, people are able to see how strong the Lord is. And so here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians about this. He says this in verse 1. He says, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. So when I came to you, people in Corinth, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing. Say nothing. He resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. Anybody relate to that? My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Now, if this is not good news, and if you can't relate to this, you know, then it's one of these things, like, this is our story. Like, so many times we feel inadequate and fear and all this stuff, but Paul is saying that God uses that. And Paul, you have to know, he's this really smart guy. He was this Jew among Jews. He knew the scripture really, really well. It wasn't that he didn't have any wisdom or anything like that. Just like all of us, we all have something to bring to the table. But Paul didn't rely on any of that. What was going to be the power source behind the gospel was not his eloquent words and not his human words of wisdom. In fact, I remember a long time ago when I started preaching, and I used to think that like I had to kind of like say the next new thing. I remember I was leading this youth group, and my sermon was like 5 minutes, and I'd prepared like hours, you know, for it, and I had exhausted all my material, right, in 5 minutes, and you know, probably was really bad or whatever. But I remember like thinking like I had to share the next new thing, like nobody's ever heard this before. I got to like impress people with my words. And finally, this pastor was a mentor for me. I was getting ready to get up to preach one time, and he said, you know, just like you say to somebody that's going to play in a ball game, like, go get them. He said, give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. And for me, it was more than just like, go get them. It was kind of like, oh, yeah. Because what I have to offer is not what people really need. What people really need is for me to just offer people Jesus and to let Jesus stand alone. Let Jesus in the gospel speak through that. So Paul didn't come with eloquent words or human wisdom. You know, the word wisdom that he uses here is the word Sophia. Say Sophia. Yeah, you've heard that before. That's a name. The word Sophia in the Greek is means wisdom. But you have to know that when I was in seminary, I read this book where there was this group of people called the Sophists. The Sophists comes from the word Sophia. And the Sophists were these Greek philosophers during Jesus' time. And the Sophists, they were experts in really showing human wisdom. They were experts in the art of twisting their words or sweet-talking people into believing almost anything, right? And so what they would essentially do is they would stand out in public and they loved to argue back and forth with people. And they were so good at using Sophia to twist their words that they would actually show people a piece of paper that was white. And they could argue and teach you. And by the end of their argument, you would be completely convinced that the paper is not white, that the paper is actually black. It's one of those things. They were so good. And it was like this deception of persuasive words. And so what Paul is saying is, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I didn't come to you with, you know, like fancy words like a salesman. I didn't come to you trying to twist the words of the truth with Sophia. Like Paul is saying, like, I just gave people Jesus. I offered people Jesus, and I let Jesus be the power behind my words. And the truth is, God doesn't need us to be philosophers. God doesn't need us to be the type of people who know every answer to every question before we step out and share our faith. And God doesn't need us to be these salesmen who overamplify, you know, and beef up who Jesus is. Because God just wants us to be witnesses, to share our story and share our faith of what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. That's what it means to be witnesses. And so here's the bottom line I want to share with you today, and it's this. It's no matter what your story looks like, you have a story worth sharing. No matter what your story looks like, you have a story worth sharing. All of us. Like I said, I thought that I had a cruddy testimony, right? I thought like I've been in church my whole life and that's great, you know? And like God's been opening up the blinds. But I thought, man, I wish I had a testimony like him, you know? Or like her. Like, God, you could really use that, you know? But no matter what your story looks like, you have a story worth sharing. And it's one of those things where this is what people did all throughout the gospel when they met Jesus. I mean, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, Jesus meets this guy named Andrew. And Andrew, I'm named after Andrew. The first thing Andrew did when he met Jesus is he went and got his brother. He told his brother about Jesus, and then he brought his brother and he introduced him so that he could meet Jesus too. I love that. He was a witness. Then we see this picture all throughout the Bible, but another one in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and Jesus heals this demon-possessed man. And I want you to check out what it says in Mark chapter 5, 19 through 20. It says, Jesus did not let him, but said, tells this guy, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Verse 20. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The power of your story, right? And then in John chapter 9, Jesus heals this man who had been born blind. He'd been blind his whole life, and Jesus heals him right there. And all the Pharisees are kind of like getting a little bit fussy. They're kind of like, well, who is this Jesus? And how does he have the right to heal somebody? And, you know, is he from God? Or is he like, you know, is he a sinner of some kind? You know, and I love what the Pharisees are questioning this guy. Give us the answer, man. Here's what the blind man replied to them. He says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. This is the evidence of what God has done in my life. See, I don't have all the answers to all your questions. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's done. But what I know is this, is what Jesus has done in my life. That I was once at this place in my life, and now I'm here. And it's all because of Jesus. And so when you share your story about Jesus working in your life, it's one of the best ways to share your faith. So here, I'm going to give you a couple of things that I want to encourage you to do and how to respond to this. And here's the first thing I want to encourage us to do. I want to encourage us to start paying attention to how Jesus is working in your life all the time. One of the things we used to talk about in football, if you're a linebacker, you got to keep your head on a swivel. That means, you know, you're always looking around. And because you've got linemen coming from everywhere that might take you out, right? Well, in this case, I want to encourage you to keep your head on a swivel, always looking around for how Jesus is at work in your life. And what I mean by that is not necessarily these huge moments of faith and the mountaintop experiences, but how is God at work in even the smallest details? And I want you to start looking for that and remembering those things. How are the fingerprints of God at work? Here's what it says, 1 Peter chapter 3. This kind of gives us the reason. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be ready. Always be prepared to give an account for the goodness of God that you've experienced. To share with people about that. See, being ready means that you just start noticing how God is at work and how God has been at work. So here's a question I want you to think about. Because sometimes we think about it all the time, and some of us, like, it's not even, like, on the radar screen. How is God working in your life right now? Like, how is God working in your life right now? How do you see the thumbprint or the fingerprint of God in your life right now? And you may say, well, I have no clue. Like, my life is, like, so chaotic right now. We're running so fast that I don't even know which way's up. How's God at work? I want you to start paying attention to see how God is at work, because God is always moving under the surface of our story. Here's the second thing I want us to do with this. Is I want to encourage you mostly to share your faith story. Share your faith story and share stories of God working in your life. So we can share our faith story of, you know, how Jesus, you know, has changed our life. But sometimes the most powerful thing that you can share is simply by sharing small stories, daily stories of how God is working in your life right now. See, the thing that I found is one of the things you can do is I do this all the time. I tell somebody what's going on in my life and I'll say something like this, you know, and here's what God's teaching me right now. Here's what God's doing with me right now or showing me right now. And I just tell them. And it's just a simple way to let this be part of the regular conversation. And so I just have this dream for this church that we would be the type of people that in our lives that we would begin sharing even the small Jesus moments, that it would become just a regular part of our vocabulary. Now, it means you got to think about it and recognize it, but that we would start to share that with our spouse and with our friends and our coworkers. And we just say, you know, here's what's been going on right now. We've been so busy, but like, here's what God's showing me through this, you know, stuff like that. And what happens is God will usually put you in the path of somebody who's going through something. Somebody will be going through something that's kind of difficult. And one of the things that I found is that let's say a friend's going through something difficult. And the thing is, you may have a story where you went through something difficult too. And you can share that story with them and share about how Jesus actually worked in your life on the other side of that story. And it can become a great way to share about who Jesus is. It's a great opportunity to share that story. Because when you share your story, you also share your faith. You know, the problem is most of us feel like our story is boring. Like me, I thought my story kind of stunk. Like, God, why'd you give me such a boring story? Or we feel like we're kind of insignificant. How could you use somebody like me? I'm just an accountant or a teacher, or I'm just taking care of kids at home, whatever. Then we look at other people's stories and we have, you know, kind of story envy. Like, I wish I had theirs. But no matter what your story looks like, you have a story worth sharing. Every story is part of the story of God. And so don't worry about when you share your story, supplying the power for your story or amplifying it even more. Just let God be the power behind your words. Our job is to simply have the faith to share. So I got a call a few years ago. It was a random phone call and I picked it up. And it was this girl that I'd been praying for all the way through middle school and high school. This girl that I've been praying for that she would experience Jesus. And she said, "Hey, great news. We're engaged and not we, but I got engaged and I wanted to call you to see if you would be willing to perform our wedding, do our wedding ceremony." I was like, "Absolutely." And I told Mandy, you know, about this whole thing. And I was like, this is an awesome opportunity. Because remember, I had this fear of rejection and I'd been wrestling with the pain of regret because I didn't share. And so through this premarital, we started doing premarital counseling, and I always share about Jesus. You can't share about marriage without talking about Jesus and his love. And so I'm sharing about Jesus. And I start sharing with them as a couple about what Jesus has done in my life and what Jesus has done in my marriage, real life examples. And I was sharing this, and you know, it was great. And I felt like God was moving, but I didn't really think of it much more. So I show up at this wedding, and it was like a reunion of everybody I grew up with. It was like everybody was there. And I was like, "Oh my goodness," you know. So I show up, but it wasn't just I showed up and everybody was there, but people started coming to me like out of nowhere and was like, "I don't know what you shared with them, but they've been telling us all about it, and we can't wait to hear about it too." I was like, "Okay, don't stink, you know, make sure I share this, right?" But it was like, oh my goodness, like just sharing my story and sharing my faith was so powerful that it was so contagious that everybody wanted more of Jesus. And so that's what happens when we share our faith and share our story. So here's how we're going to end this series today. Instead of just saying, go and do it, we want to help you. We want to empower you. We want to give you some tools to share your story, to invite people, and to help connect people to Jesus. We're going to take communion in just a minute to remind us that the power doesn't come from us. It comes from God. But here's what we're going to do. On your way out of the service today, we're kind of helping you to invite people and share with people in a fun and accessible way. And so one of the things we do all the time during Easter is we send a mailer out to thousands of people, inviting people. We also typically boost a Facebook post. It costs a lot of money to let it go to thousands of people, right? But we started thinking this year, you know what? Like the number one reason that people get connected to Jesus is because of people in their lives. And I started saying, you know, what if we were to reinvest what we typically just boost out on Facebook into the atmosphere? And what if we were able to invest and encourage you in a way that would enable you to better share your faith? So as you leave the service today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to give you actually a $5 gift card to Chick-fil-A. Woohoo! But the gift card's not for you. Womp, womp. The gift card's not for you. I want you to take this gift card, and I want you to reinvest it into the life of somebody in your life. And what I want you to do, I want you to be thinking and praying about who in your life, maybe that is not connected to a local church, maybe lives around here, who in your sphere of influence is God prompting you to invite this Easter? And what you can do, very, very simple. There's a card on it that says this. This is a simple reminder that God loves you. No strings attached. It's got our Easter service information and Chick-fil-A gift card. And what I want to encourage you to do is really, really be praying. Jesus, who do you want me to invite? Who do you want me to give this to? And it's so fun. Everybody wants a gift card. And so this is why you get to be everybody's hero. You show up and you just say something like this, like, hey, you've really been on my heart lately. I wanted to just give you this. It's a simple reminder that God loves you. And what you can even do as well is you can say, and hey, I don't know what your plans are this Easter, but I'd love, if you don't have any plans, I'd love to invite you to come celebrate Easter with me in my church. Boom, that's it. It's a way to share your story, share your faith in a fun way. So you're going to get that on the way out. But as we come to the table this morning to celebrate communion, I want us to be reminded that that we're all part of God's story, that God is always working in the hearts and lives of every person. And he just wants us to have the faith to be willing to share our story. Because no matter what your story looks like, you have a story worth sharing.